history through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, brought to you by Paul Everett's RV Country, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, if you take the time to ask a few questions and listen a little bit, you are going to hear some stories. Each week, we meet some heroes. We want to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice. We want to preserve their stories so we don't forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And along the way, we learn a lot. We're educated, we're entertained, often inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. And I think we're going to check all those boxes today with 93-year-old Harold Hart of Raymond, California. Harold, how many people you think listening right now could point to Raymond, California on a map?
Well, I don't know how many stupid people there are.
It's not the first one that jumps out at you in California.
Are you sure of that?
You're kind of hidden back here in the golden foothills. But this is a pretty special area.
Golden foothills?
Well, they're golden because there's a drought. It's a little dry out there.
Well, it looks to me like the trees all died.
You got a lot of old oak trees out here. What other kind of trees you have on your property?
Of dead trees.
But you're easy to spot. Your driveway's easy to find because you are flying once a Marine, always a Marine, proud Semper Fi flag right on the edge of your driveway. How long have you done that? Have you always done that since you got out of the service?
I've had that flag in every place I've been. It's been there.
Why do you do that? Why is that so important?
By God, I want them to know it's me. And I know Flores in down at the VA hospital. He said there's one thing that Hart will never do, and he'll never forget who he is.
Well, we're going to try to learn a little bit about who he is, who you are. And I want to take you back when you were not in your 90s, but just a young boy growing up in the cornfields of Iowa. And that's literal. That's what you did? You worked in the cornfields growing up?
Well, I didn't just have to work in the cornfields.
What else did you do?
Broke horses to drive, to ride. I had cattle, and my dad was a farmer, and he bought the farm that we lived on.
Madison County, Iowa. Your growing up years through the Great Depression, is that something that you guys felt there? Did you have some hard times? Did that make life more difficult for you guys out on the farm?
It didn't with my dad. We always had plenty to eat, and we had all of our livestock. We sold hogs, 800 head one year. We had the sows that raised that many little pigs, and then we fed them corn. And when they topped out at about 180 pounds apiece, we sold them.
You never had a shortage of bacon either, huh?
Oh, we had all the meat we could eat.
When you were a boy, and I know this is a long time ago, but do you remember the things that you dreamed about or thought about or said, hey, when I grow up, I'm going to do X, Y, Z?
No, I never had that because if I had of, my father would have said, son, forget it. You're going to do what I tell you to.
And
I did.
I believe it. So Winterset, Iowa.
Madison County.
Uh-huh.
Went to school on the bus every day and home every night on the same bus. And then I went to doing the chores. You know, we was milking 23 cows and selling milk by hand.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think I got that grip?
That's a cow milking grip.
Yeah.
But you remember what the cream tastes like when they say the cream rises to the top. You know where that expression came from.
I never ate or drank straight cream. I had it when it was butter.
And you guys probably had to churn your own butter, right?
Right. We had a butter churn that held 5 gallons.
In the basement or where?
No, it was in the house.
Uh-huh.
And there was a paddle, and you could put it in the crock and do this until it would make butter.
Uh-huh.
And that's where we got our butter. We never went to town to get it.
So was that
we
you?
We made it at home.
Was that you and your brother taking turns churning it?
Usually my brother and I.
When did you graduate high school?
when I was smart enough to.
I'm guessing if I'm doing the math, it might have been 1941.
42.
So that means your senior year of high school, something happened that changed the world a little bit. Do you remember December 7th, 1941, when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor?
I remember hearing it over the radio.
I figured that's how you found out.
I was a scout and sniper at 400 yards. I could put a bullet in a 4-inch square every time. I never missed a 4-inch square with my rifle.
Where did that talent come from? Had you been shooting squirrels and possums and stuff back home in Iowa? Or
my
what?
Dad. He was in the First World War, and he was a hell of a shot.
He was in the Army?
Yep.
In Europe?
Yep. And he was known as the hitter. And then Dad taught me how to fire.
Uh-huh.
A rabbit. They're not really big animals. At 400 yards, I could hit a rabbit in the head every time.
Wow.
And they would turn a loop backwards.
Did your father ever tell you any stories about World War One?
And none of the things that they did. He was in the cavalry.
Uh-huh.
And he stayed in the Army 7 more months after the war was over because he wanted to make sure that they took care of the 21 horses that he had the control of.
Huh.
While he was there. He said, by God, I wasn't coming home until I knew that they was going to water and feed my horses.
How about that? So you come from a military family, and then in the middle of your senior year of high school, you find out Japan has launched this surprise attack on America.
Yep.
You were 89 pounds, and you wanted to go fight the Japanese.
When I graduated.
So you didn't have a weight room to go lift in, but you went out chopping trees to get muscles? Is that how it worked?
My father had me with muscle. You know, we fell trees and cut them into logs,
mm-hmm.
and made them into the winter's wood with axes. We didn't have them fancy saws that you start a bullet and cut them. We run them with a saw.
Back and forth, one guy on either side.
Until it fell off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Was there anything that was difficult for you to adjust to, going from a civilian to a Marine?
No. I had been brought up that whatever you were told to do, you did it.
Uh-huh. And why did you choose the Marine Corps as opposed to one of the other branches of service?
Not until each loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unfold his pattern and reveal the reasons why the dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern God has planned. He knows, he loves, and he cares, and those that get the very best are the ones that let God make the choice. How did you like that?
Well, I like it. I'm sure everybody did, but I want to make sure that I understand why you jumped into that. I know that's a poem that you're quite fond of. It's very powerful for you. And I understand you first heard it after a family tragedy. You grew up with one brother and three sisters, but you had another sister who never got to grow up. She died before her first birthday.
She was 5 months and 5 days old when she passed away.
And that was a poem someone read mm-hmm. in her memory. And it stuck with you. And it sounds like maybe you're saying you know that you're not the one who's in control all the time.
Well, I knew that. I never tried to control anything or anybody.
Uh-huh.
And when I got in the Marine Corps, and they sent me out to the rifle range, and they was going to teach me to shoot. I'll never forget. The guy was an officer of some kind, and he told me he wanted me to shoot 400 yards and see if I could hit a 4-inch target.
Uh-huh.
And I said, why don't you put a rabbit out there and let him hop around? I'll take that. That's better than a 4-inch target hanging on a post. They wouldn't do that.
When you headed overseas, 1944, do you remember what you thought about that? Were you nervous? Was there any concern?
No.
That you might not come back?
No, I never thought that.
How do you think your mother felt about it?
I bet she said, that little fart There's no way they'll scare him into it.
Do you remember the first time somebody shot at you?
Oh, I don't know they were shooting at me.
What do you think they were shooting at?
The target someplace. And I didn't feel like the target.
I bet they felt
differently. I never was afraid.
Why not?
Why should I be?
Because they're trying to kill you?
Well, yeah, but they don't know. They don't know that not until each loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unfold his pattern and reveal the reasons why.
So you believed that God was protecting you?
I'm still here.
At 93. Do you remember some times where things came really close and there was no other explanation but God's protection?
I was the first Marine to set a foot on Iwo Jima. That was the worst, and up to this day, that's the worst fight, the worst battle that the Marines have ever been in.
And I want to hear more about it, but that was your last battle. There were three more before that, and maybe we can get to that after our first commercial break. Iwo Jima was Harold Hart's last battle because he was taken off the island unconscious 5 days into that battle. It's quite possible that that saved his life because there were nearly 7,000 Americans killed, 19,000 more wounded during that 36-day battle for a volcanic island that measures all of 9 square miles. The airfields on Iwo would become crucial strategic stops for bomber pilots flying over the months that followed, but that island came at a heavy, heavy price. I mentioned that number, nearly 7,000 Americans killed on that little island in a little more than a month. That is almost exactly how many Americans have died in Iraq and Afghanistan combined after 15 years of the War on Terror. Had he not been hospitalized on the fifth day of the battle for Iwo Jima, who knows whether Harold Hart would have made it through another month of fighting there. Well, he knows. I think you got a taste of that. And there's more to come. Check out the photos of this 93-year-old Marine at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. And we'll be right back after this. If you'd like to sell your low-mileage, well-maintained RV in excellent condition, bring it to Paul Everett's RV Country and they'll sell it for you. That's right. Consignments are welcome. Any type of motorhome, travel trailer, or fifth wheel. With 8 locations in 5 states, there's probably a Paul Everett's within driving distance of this radio station. Helping RVers get the most out of their RVs is another one of those things that make doing business with Paul such a unique pleasure. Paul Everett's RV Country in Fresno and Indio, California, Bullhead City, Arizona, Laughlin, Nevada, Coburg, Oregon, and 3 locations in Washington, Fife, Milton, and Mount Vernon. For the exact locations, go to the website. That address is rvcountry.com. That's rvcountry.com. Over 55 years of experience and 1 million RVers served. Paul Everett's RV Country, proud supporters of Hometown Heroes.